Please be seated. Very warm good afternoon to all of you. Today is a very special day. It's the first Sunday of the new year. It's also the first Sunday of the new decade. So a very special day indeed. For the last few years, the church in Singapore has been gearing up to this event. As we had in May last year at the National Stadium, celebration of hope, a time when the gospel was proclaimed, the good news of Jesus was shared widely throughout our land. It was a beautiful time. And so, as a follow-up to what was happening last year, we have this year, 2020, as our theme, the year of personal discipleship, because it's the year when we take care of the new people who have come into the kingdom of God. This is broadly the big picture for the church in Singapore. But let it not remain as just a big picture, because actually it speaks very personally to each of us. It has a very personal application for each of us. And so this year, 2020, let it be a year where we would grow ourselves, take care of our own spiritual growth, and also grow others, help other people to grow spiritually. First, take care of our own growth, grow ourselves. Isaiah 50, verse 4. Morning by morning, he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. Morning by morning, the Lord God Almighty awakens my ear. What is it we need in this new year? We need a new year for a new year. Basically, that's what it is. We need a new ear for this new year. Why? Because this new ear that God wants to give to us is a special ear. It's the ear of those who are taught. That is what the ESV, English Standard Version of the Bible, says. It's the ear of those who are taught. If you read other translations like NASB, New American Standard Bible, or the Tanakh translation, it speaks of the ear of a disciple. You know, in Bible times, there were many rabbis, teachers, sages. The relationship between a rabbi and his disciples, it was so close that anything the rabbi says, the disciples would definitely obey. Close relationship. He speaks, definitely they hear, definitely they obey. Is this how it is when God speaks to us? We hear and we obey. Or is it a case where we can hear, but we don't agree? We hear, but we don't obey. There was once when I visited an elderly couple in their home. They're both in their 90s, and so they found it hard to come to church. When we were there, the wife brought out and showed to us her hearing aid, very expensive, several thousand dollars. And so we said, well, this must be very good quality, must be a very good hearing aid because it's so expensive. And the husband said, actually, she doesn't need a hearing aid. Actually, there's nothing wrong with her hearing. And we said, oh, how come? He said, well, if people say nice things to my wife, he said, she has no trouble hearing. She can hear straight away. He said, but when I scold her, suddenly she can't hear. And so he said, there's nothing wrong with her hearing, it's just selective hearing. Is this how it is when we hear the voice of God? Selective hearing. If he says something nice to us, you will have a glorious future, I will bless you. Immediately we hear, we say, amen, hallelujah. But if God says something difficult to us, he rebukes us for our sin, or he asks us to do something difficult, then suddenly we don't hear, we don't want to obey. The very mark of a disciple is that he hears and he obeys. We look again at Isaiah 50, verse 4. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear, Shema, as those who are taught. In the Hebrew language, which is the language of the Old Testament, the word hear is Shema. And Shema actually means that you will listen with great attention. You will listen with great interest. In fact, Shema means if you hear, you will obey. not possible to hear and not obey, because Shema means both. And so in the case of Jesus, this was our prime example of how he heard the voice of God the Father and he obeyed. And so we read in Isaiah 50 verses 5 to 6, "The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting." When God the Father spoke to Jesus, he spoke very difficult words to hear. Words of suffering, words of persecution, words of torture. But Jesus said, "I was not rebellious." Everything that God the Father told him to do, he did. And so, in Matthew 27, 26, we see this scene where Jesus was being tortured by the Roman soldiers. Isaiah says, prophesying about Jesus, "I did not hide my back from those who wanted to slay me." Jesus willingly gave his back to his torturers. And so the Roman soldiers scourged him. Scourging was the most terrible type of beating. It was a whip with many lashes. And these lashes, at the end, they all contained sharp bits, bits of very sharp bone, bits of sharp metal. And so, as Jesus' back was whipped 39 times in all, firstly, his skin would have been torn apart. The blood would have come rushing out. As the whipping continued, even his muscles would have been torn. The flesh would have been torn. Right down to his bones would have been exposed. Terrible bleeding. Excruciating pain. Jesus said, "I did not resist the torture." What God the Father said, Jesus the Son obeyed. And then we read in Isaiah 50 verse 6 that Jesus did not hide his face when the Roman soldiers spit on him. Spitting is not physical torture, but it is humiliation. You know, if a whole group of people suddenly spit in your face, it is the ultimate insult, because it means that in their eyes, you are worse than nothing. Matthew 27 verse 30 says, the Roman soldiers did exactly that to Jesus. They spit in his face to humiliate him, to insult him, to strip him of all his dignity. Jesus did not resist. He heard, this is the will of God the Father, and he did it. And so, to grow spiritually, our ear, we need a new ear to hear what God is saying to us. I was wondering, out of all the parts in the body, why is the ear singled out as a key to our own spiritual growth? I think because the ear can function very well whether we're awake or we are asleep. If you think about it, when you are asleep, you cannot see with your eyes because your eyes are closed, right? But your ears don't close as such. You can still hear in your sleep. Many years ago, I went on a mission trip to Aceh in Indonesia. This was a few years after the terrible tsunami of December 2004. I went there with a group of cathedral members, and we were working with an NGO, non-government organization in Indonesia. They put us in a house. This house was not yet completed. It was still being built. And so most of the rooms were not ready, but there was just one bedroom that was already built. And they put the whole team of us into this one bedroom. On the first night that we were there, I said to the team, "I'm tired, I'm going to sleep." They said, "Yes, okay, you can sleep." They said, "You know, we are not tired yet, and we're going to talk, we will sleep later." I said, "Okay, that's fine. But," I said, "be careful what you say, because I can hear in my sleep." And they said, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." You know, they didn't believe me at all. So I went to sleep. And true enough, they weren't tired. They talked for a very long time. The next morning, when we were all awake, I repeated the conversation to them. I told them exactly what they had said the night before. And they were shocked. And he said, this is not possible that you heard us. He said, you were asleep. Oh, we even heard you snoring, they said. And I said, but I told you, I can hear in my sleep. Well, they were so horrified that I had heard what they said. Because you know what they were talking about? They were talking about cathedral pastors. They were talking about the pastors that they like and the pastors that they don't like. So they were so horrified that I heard everything. Fortunately for them, also fortunately for me, my name was not mentioned because I was neither liked nor disliked. A blessing. The point is this. Even when we are asleep, our ear can still function. This is in the natural. How much more in the spiritual? Our ear must be this ear that is trained to hear the voice of God. Whether we are awake or asleep, even in our dreams, God can speak to us. Let us pray that in 2020, we will have this new ear, the ear of a disciple. This year, we grow not only ourselves, but let us grow other people, help them to grow. We look again at Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. For our own personal spiritual growth, we need the ear. But to disciple other people, we need the tongue. That's what the verse says, the tongue, so that we can disciple other people. Why the tongue? Because the tongue is our primary way of interacting with other people. Isn't it so? If you're with someone and you don't use your tongue at all, just look at them, smile, listen. Well, yes, maybe you're a good listener, but you're not really interacting with them. Or if you say, my main way of interacting with people is to touch, and so I touch them, I don't think you'll be very popular. So be careful how we touch people. For most of us, the main way of interacting with other people is through our tongue. And here we're not just talking about the tongue in general, but specifically the tongue of the learned. It's very interesting, the Hebrew word for learned is limud, and the Hebrew word for disciple is talmid. Now, the Hebrew language is made up of roots. You know, English is made up of letters. The Hebrew language is made up of roots. And so, if I tell you that these two words, limud and talmid, practically have the same meaning, you may look at it and say, no, they sound totally different. But if you see their roots, you will see that three roots are the same. And when two words have three roots that are the same, it means they are very closely related. So how do we read Hebrew? In English, we read from left to right. Hebrew is the opposite. We read from right to left, the same way as we read Chinese. And so if you look at the screen, the first root is the blue arrow, and it refers to the Hebrew root lamed. Lamed is something like our English letter L. It occurs in both words, limud and talmid. The second root, the red arrow, points to the Hebrew root mem. And mem is like our English letter M. Again, it occurs in both words. And then the third root, the green arrow, dalet. Dalet, like the English letter D, occurs in both words. So what we're saying is, limud, talmid, they don't sound the same. And yet they have practically the same meaning, simply because three roots are the same. The word learned and the word disciple are practically the same meaning. And so when Isaiah says that the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, it is another way of saying, God has given me the tongue of a disciple. He's given me the tongue of a disciple so that I can sustain other people, specifically those who are weary, with my words. And this is speaking of spiritual discipleship, where we speak to those who are spiritually weary. And through our words, we encourage them to grow strong in the Lord. When we think of discipleship In modern times, we think of this. Two people doing one-on-one Bible study. One person is the discipler, the other person is the disciple. This is our modern kind of Bible study when we do discipleship. For myself, I never went through this. There was no one who discipled me one-on-one. If you had, you are very blessed, but I never had it. But what I did have was discipleship in the biblical sense. In Bible times, as I said, there were rabbis. And a rabbi in the Bible times, he discipled not basically one person one-on-one, but he would disciple many people at a time, sometimes hundreds or more. And so there's one very famous rabbi named in the Bible. His name is Gamaliel. You may remember him. He discipled a very famous person, Paul, the missionary. There's a collection of writings. It's called the Talmud. The Talmud is a collection of the Jewish laws. According to the Talmud, Gamaliel had 1,000 disciples. 1,000 disciples? So many. And you say, how could he have so many when Rabbi Jesus only had 12, right? But is it true Rabbi Jesus only had 12? We always think of the 12 disciples of Jesus, those who are with him all the time. But if we read Luke 10:1, it says Jesus didn't just have 12, but he had a bigger group. He had 70, or some versions of the Bible say 72 disciples. And then when you read Luke 19:37, it says that Jesus had a multitude of disciples. Multitude very likely means so many they couldn't be counted. So the point is this. In Bible times, a rabbi had many disciples, sometimes hundreds, sometimes thousands even, so many they could not be counted. In my case, I was discipled by Reverend Maureen Onions. She was based in South Africa, but she traveled to many countries, and wherever she traveled, she would teach people about the Bible, teach people specifically about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so she discipled many people, and I was one of them. I learned many things from her. Firstly, I learned from her how to love the Jewish people, because Reverend Maureen Onions herself was a Jew. And so I learned to love these people who are God's chosen people, the people of the book, the people of the Bible. That's one important lesson I learned from her. Something else really important I learned from her, healing ministry, because this was her main ministry. She would lay hands on the sick, she would pray for the sick, and God would answer with miraculous healings. She brought a whole group of disciples, including me, to Nigeria. And there we witnessed firsthand the ministry of T.B. Joshua. T.B. Joshua is a very controversial figure. But for those of us who have seen him close up, watch his ministry, we know that the anointing of God is heavy on him. And when he prays for the sick, even people with AIDS, HIV, they get healed instantly. Because the anointing of God on him, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit moving, working wondrously. So Maureen Onions brought the disciples, including me, to Nigeria. She also brought us to India. And India was special because in India we conducted a healing crusade. Thousands and thousands of people attended. And not only did the Holy Spirit move powerfully in healing, but also in bringing people to salvation. 1,000 people accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. 1,000 is a lot. And you say, did the churches dream up this figure? No. This is the figure that was published in the Nagaland Post, which is the newspaper. 1,000 people turned to Jesus. Tremendous healing miracles. One woman we remember in particular. This woman had been blind for 11 years, totally blind, couldn't see for 11 years. She came for the healing crusade. His hands were laid on her as people prayed. God moved and did a mighty miracle. Instantly, she was healed and she could see. After the rally, when she returned to her home village, people kept saying, is this the same woman? The woman who was blind for 11 years, how come suddenly she can see? And so they realize this is the power of Jesus. And in this way, the good news kept multiplying its effect, reaching more and more people. What made this healing crusade so special was that the prayers for the sick were done by Reverend Maureen Onions and her disciples. And I had the joy of being one of them. Special. So I learned from her to love the Jewish people. I learned from her about healing ministry. But most of all, I learned from her the most important thing in ministry, the most important thing in life, is to love the Lord. That is the first and the greatest commandment, to love the Lord. And I learned this in a strange way. We were staying in a place in Nagaland. Nagaland is in India, northern part of India. Not in a hotel, but in a very basic rest house. And in this rest house, it was so basic that there were no hot water facilities at all. We bathed with cold water. We drank cold water. There was no hot water. The only hot water available was through this one small kettle that Reverend Maureen Onions had brought. So one day, one of her disciples, one in our group, he decided he wants a hot drink. So he borrowed this kettle from Maureen. And something terrible happened. He turned on the power, but he forgot to put water inside the kettle. And so the kettle got very badly burnt. It got badly spoiled. When Maureen found out that her kettle had been ruined by this disciple, she was so upset. And I couldn't understand why is she so upset just because her kettle got spoiled. Only later I realized it was her habit to do quiet time early in the morning. And so she would wake up very early in the morning, like 3 a.m. every day, to do quiet time, to read her Bible, to pray, to spend time with the Lord. And during that time of quiet time, she would take out her kettle and she would boil water to make coffee. It was her special time with the Lord and with coffee. So because her disciple had spoiled her kettle, she couldn't do this anymore. That's why she was so upset. But I learned through this that it was her love for Jesus that kept her going. Kettle or no kettle, coffee or no coffee, she kept her quiet time with the Lord as her commitment, as her love to the Lord. And so I learned the most important thing in life is really our love for God, number one in our life. 2020, the year of personal discipleship, I pray that it will be a year where we will make plans for our own personal spiritual growth. It will not happen naturally. If we just do nothing, 2020 will come and go. But we must actively make plans to grow spiritually. And then also make plans to disciple other people. To grow spiritually, we need the ear of a disciple, the ear of a learner. Will we ask God for that? Will we also ask God to help us disciple other people by giving us the tongue of a disciple to help other people? Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's close our eyes and come to Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Where are you now in your spiritual journey? Are you happy? Are you satisfied with your spiritual state? I believe there's so much more that we can do to grow, to be more like Jesus, to grow in our journey of likeness, to be more like Jesus. We need the ear of a disciple. How many of us desire to have this ear of a disciple that we may grow spiritually this year? Will you just raise your hand? No need to open your eyes, just raise your hand. Yes, yes, amen. I'd like to pray for you later. And even as we desire a new spiritual ear, I believe there are some of us who need healing of our physical ears, that we have hearing problems and we need healing physically. If that's you, will you also raise your hand? Yes. The Lord wants to touch you. I'll pray with you later. And then, not just for us to grow spiritually ourselves, but to help other people to grow. The tongue of a disciple. You may say, Lord, I don't know how to disciple other people. Maybe. But if you have the desire in your heart, He will bring people into your life this year so that you can help them to grow. Is this your desire? Will you raise your hand? Yes. Amen. Amen. Father, I give you thanks, Lord, for all the hands that have been raised. You see our hands. More than that, Lord, you see the condition of our heart. And Father, we are crying out to you to do miraculously in our lives this year, that it would not be life as usual. But this year, Lord, you would use us greatly for your glory. You would use us to grow more into your likeness. And Lord, that we would share this blessing with other people. So Father, I just pray for all who have raised their hands, that truly, Lord, you will just pour out your Holy Spirit afresh on each one. And Lord, answer the desires of our hearts. Thank you, Father. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those of you who raise your hand, I'd like to pray for you later after the service. I'll be here with the team. Please come forward and we will pray with you after the service. God bless you.